Time for the Bible study. It's Friday, February 21st, 2014. I'm your host this day, Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, welcoming you wherever you're listening around this great world, worldwide on KFUO.org in the St. Louis area here, AM 850. So we welcome you into this program where we have the wonderful opportunity to just open up God's Word and study it. Today, we're joined by Pastor Andrew Jagow. He's pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome back to the Bible study, Andy.
Hey, good to be back.
Good to have you back. What's your weather doing up there?
Ooh, well, after all the storminess going through the Midwest, we're kind of like on the edge of that, so it looks kind of gray and threatening, but warm, finally. We just, we've been getting a lot of snow, just like everyone else on the East Coast this year.
Yeah, you know, we kind of get, I have relatives and family out in the Denver area, and I see theirs, and then a day or two later, we get it, we've been fortunate here. A lot of it splits and goes around us, and you know, you on the East Coast there, sometimes you get a lot worse snowfalls than we do, but we had 73 the other day, and then a storm moved through, and by the time I drove home, Andy, it had dropped 20 degrees. And then we're supposed to be in the mid to the low 30s for next week, and you know, it's that time of year where you bounce around a while.
Yeah, you get just a hint of it. I tell you, when people get a sniff of it here, I can just tell right now. In the D.C. area, in the springtime, one of the favorite activities is cherry blossom.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember 3 years ago after the so-called Snowmageddon went through, as soon as the first break of warm weather came, you were just, if you tried to go down to the seat of the cherry blossoms, you were just shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
It was just jammed.
That's almost a rite of spring, isn't it, there?
It is. Well, actually, I'm really excited this year. Both of my children, two kids, 8 and 10 years old, they're going to be in the Mass Children's Choir that's going to be in the Cherry Blossom Parade, thanks to their school. So I'm really excited about that.
Isn't that great? So they get a little publicity for Lutheran schools in that way, too.
Well, hopefully. Actually, it's the public school. Sorry.
Oh, public school. Okay. Well, that's still, I mean,
the,
you know,
the Lutheran school, we get a Lutheran boost at the Rose Parade every year, which is awesome.
Yeah. and anyway, you know, it's Christ's presence among those heathen students too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, tell us a little bit of
salt and light.
Yeah. Send your emails and comments on that one to Craig D'Onofrio, the programming manager here. Andy, tell us a little bit about what's going on there, how the Lord is blessing the good people at Bethany Lutheran Church, Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh, what's going on? Goodness. Well, I just mentioned the spring. So Easter, yes. And, of course, right before Easter is the season of Lent, and we do Ashes on Ash Wednesday, little soup supper on Ash Wednesday. Coming up, oh, my goodness, a week from next Wednesday.
That's creeping up on us, isn't it?
Ooh, boy.
Are you all set with your Wednesday series and all that?
Absolutely not, no. But we're getting there. Actually, what I'm doing this year, and it's something that's very odd for me, because let me preface this a little bit. We are traditional, we follow the traditional church year, and I really emphasize that as the reasons why we do that is, you know, gives us a connection to, you know, customs in the church. Not just it gives us a connection to the church from 2,000 years ago, but it puts us to a regular cycle of Christ life and life in the church, and we share that with other Christian churches going through that cycle. But so we are still doing that. But I'm doing. I want to get into the Bible during Lent, and in particular the Book of Romans. Lent is traditionally a time to do some basic instruction in the Christian faith, like doing the Ten Commandments or the Lord's Prayer. Well, I'm going to do the Book of Romans this year and try to guide the congregation. We're going to have a reading guide for the church.
Nice.
And I'm going to challenge them to read the book, and then I'll be basing the Sunday sermon Bible study, and we have a reading guide to get into the Book of Romans. So we're not leaving the lectionary. I still want to emphasize how important that is as we go through it. But I'm also concerned about, you know, biblical literacy and using the Word of God as the foundation for all that we do in the church.
Amen. And that's so good and worthy you're doing that, because You know, I always said that if there's one thing that the church needs, it's just to get the people steeped more and more in God's word, you know. And what a great book Romans is. You know, Luther, he said that his two favorite books, and he had a hard time discerning which one he liked better, was Romans and the book that we're in right now, Galatians. So great stuff. Andy, why don't you do what we need to do to ask God to open our hearts and our minds to the truths he would have for us this day out of our study of Galatians?
Okay, will do. Lord God, we pray for your Holy Spirit today. And as we dwell in your word and spend some time in your word, thinking about the Holy Spirit, have that Spirit come to our hearts, dwell in us, Lord. We can't understand these words without the guidance, without enlightenment from your Holy Spirit. We certainly can't understand all the mysteries of our salvation and all that you have done for us through the love of Jesus Christ, suffering and dying on the cross and rising again to bring us new life. We cannot do that or understand that without your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we just ask for that Spirit to dwell in us, guide us, lead us, and bring us closer together as your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, let's invite our listeners to join us in this great study of Galatians. If you're listening in the St. Louis area or elsewhere where you have unlimited long distance like I do, you can call us at 314-821-0850 or toll-free in North America, 800-730-2727. Or you can email your question or comment for Pastor Jay Gow, our guest today, at kfuo@kfuo.org. Before we jump into our assigned text, Galatians 5:16 to the end of that chapter 26, Andy, I would ask you to just give the people a brief idea of how you summarize this valuable and important writing of the Apostle Paul, the book of Galatians.
Well, sure. I mean, Paul's encountering in Galatia some folks who are saying, you know, you need to be circumcised and follow these food laws in order to be saved, you know, going back to some of the traditions of God's people, the Jewish people at that time. And Paul is saying, no, you don't do anything in order to be saved. Salvation is free. It comes from Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, if you hear any other gospel other than that, that's not the gospel. When we get to the middle of the book, it's especially relevant for what we're going to do today, because you hear, you know, Paul, when he gets, after giving his apostolic credentials, saying there's no other gospel, he says in chapter 3, did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by works of the law or by hearing by faith? And so the Spirit plays a role here in terms of connecting to that truth that we are saved by Jesus Christ. So now we're going to unpack, you know, when the Spirit lives in your life, you know, what does that look like?
That's really good connections. Thank you so much for tying that back to previous times where Paul talks about the Spirit. And, you know, is it fair to say, Andy, because I know a lot of times people accuse us Lutherans of not being concerned at all about the Holy Spirit, but I would dispute that, as I'm sure as you would. What connection does the Holy Spirit have with the pure gospel of Jesus Christ? Because is that fair to say, too, that the gospel of Galatians is really about keeping salvation tied to the pure gospel? Are you still there, Pastor? We lost Pastor Jagow for some reason. I hope that question didn't throw him for a loop and he hung up. It shows he's still there, but somehow we lost the phone connection. We'll try to get him back. In essence, what I was asking him, and now I'm going to have to answer it myself, is the concern that Paul here has for the churches in Galatia, where he writes this letter, is that they have deserted the gospel that he gave to them, that Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament law on behalf of Israel and every human being that's ever going to be. And then that was what we call active obedience, keeping the law. Then passively, he obeyed to become the punishment for our sins. And that's an amazing one, too. More amazing because, and people ask me, okay, where does he get punished? Those famous words from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Paul is facing these false pastors who come in and say, well, Paul had it right, all of that gospel, but then he left out a bunch of stuff you've got to do to be a Christian too. Circumcision, food laws, as Pastor Jagow was talking about. Looks like we have him on line one. Are you back there, Pastor?
I am back here, yes.
I was hoping that my question did not offend you when you said,
no.
Just hung up and I'm out of here. So I went ahead and answered that one, Pastor.
Yeah, well, after my introduction, I just ran out of material.
So. that's the best line I've heard. Thank you for that.
That's all right.
So we were talking about the connection with the Spirit to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah. Paul says you're led by the Spirit, not under you're not under the law. Going back to verse 16, I like how he says you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now here the Spirit and the law are working side by side. The Spirit is helping you walk and do the Christian life, and he says you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And I like that. I kind of call that the tense of those words, the voice, is called subjunctive. You may not, you will not, you know, would not, that sort of thing.
Mm.
But I like to call it the parental voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I see my child about to do something wrong, I may say in this tone of voice, you will not.
Yeah.
You will not.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the parental voice I hear Paul kind of coming through here. You will not gratify.
I like that. The parental subjective.
That's right. The parental voice.
Yeah. Let's just read a couple of those verses and then have you comment on them, Pastor. Verse 16, Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's just stop there. And I have to ask you this about that verse you took us to, verse 16, where he says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It seems like in Romans 7, which you're going to teach your people there, that Paul says, I want to not gratify the desires of the flesh, but I do it a lot. So how can he say here, if you walk by the Spirit, you're not going to gratify those desires? He seems to be contradicting himself, or is he, Pastor?
I know. Well, that's it, and there's all this tension in a lot of his writings, and you have to be able to kind of hold those two. I mean, both are true. That you know, and it's very natural to connect over to Romans 7 to say, you know, to hear Paul saying, you know, I want to do it, but I don't want to do it, but I do it. I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. And then to connect back here though, but no, the Spirit says no, you won't do those things. But it's the tension of being living in this life where the Spirit is perfecting us until we get to the perfection, and that's I think why Paul goes back and forth. He says in verse 18, "You're led by the Spirit; you're not under the law." But then it's that law that shows you. Now, going back to Romans even further. In the early chapters, it says that law that shows you the sin. Well, actually, chapter 7, where we were, it makes you aware of that sin. It makes you aware that you're not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing is about being under the law makes you aware, but it's the Spirit. If the law is there just by itself, then that's not going to give you any kind of power to live the life that you're supposed to be doing. It's life under the Spirit, and it's guidance by the Spirit that will connect you to God's love. It will connect you to God's grace.
That's so helpful, what you're sharing there, that, you know, even if you're, if you don't want to gratify those desires of the flesh, God knows that, doesn't he? And our conscience knows that, as Paul bears that in Romans 7. And so you're saying that we fight that, and at times it overpowers us, but our conscience and that knows that we didn't want to do that. And what does God do with a believer who acts in that way? And I'm without asking you, giving it away, what does a believer do when he doesn't want to gratify those fleshly desires, but he ends up doing it? What does he do with that sin against the Lord?
Well, you have to always go back. You know, I think some Christians see the Christian life after you've been saved, after you know Jesus is there, and I'll use our sacramental language, after you've been baptized and you're connected to the Holy Spirit. You see that maybe some people may think their life should just constantly improve and get better. So if you were to graph it, you'd see an upward line, you know, kind of going up and up and up on the graph. I think what Paul makes us aware of is that, no, you go up a little while and then it goes down.
Yeah,
and you have to
yeah.
start over, go back to God's grace.
Go back to square one and start over again.
Oh, rats. And yeah. then, you know, you sin, and then you come back to God's forgiveness. Now, in the same token, though, just because we're saved by grace, does that mean we should, you know, that sin should abound, or that we should sin all the more, that grace may abound? You know, Paul answers that in Romans with a definite no, we should not. And, you know, it's a difficult thing to do, but we can't do it. I think we're here in Galatians, what we're going to hear is we can't do it by our own power.
Yeah.
It's the more that we are growing in our faith and we trust in God's power that we get to that point where we could regularly take out the trash. We don't give in to that sin. We just bag it up and take it out to the curb.
Right. I'm looking here and I can't quite find it. That I thought previously here in Galatians, Andy, he was talking about you guys were running so well, mm-hmm. and then yeah. what got in your way, and we know what got in the way, isn't it? Is that these false teachers were telling them, "Nah, you have to do these things." And is that true, that we should be very sensitive when somebody says, "Oh, okay, yeah, you have to believe that Jesus did it all for you, but..." You know, and there's that terrible word, but
yeah.
there's more.
Yeah, you've got
to do this or that. Or we were chatting the other day, my guest here on the show, Andy, about somebody says, you're not a real Christian or real Christian church unless you have an altar with candles and a pastor with vestments and stained glass and all this. And
mm-hmm. I'm sure you
come down like the pastor and I did by saying that, hey, we don't say that we have to do those things to be saved, but we explain them as they help us believe in the salvation that is ours in abundance and free. And all of that of our justification in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit does all that work. Andy, let me ask you this, because I really like how you're taking us to the Spirit here, because that's what the text is doing. Mm-hmm. And as I appreciate that, the Holy Spirit, does the Holy Spirit really want to shine light on himself or on Christ crucified?
Well, definitely on Christ crucified. In fact, I think that the contrast between fruit of the Spirit, works of the flesh, is in this, you know, get over yourself.
I like that.
Stop focusing on yourself, you know.
Didn't John the Baptizer say it? I must decrease, he must increase. So get over yourself, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, because all the over-gratification of the flesh comes on focusing on you, your needs, you know, all the things that bring you some pleasure in this life, which are meant for good. They're meant to be enjoyed, but overdoing it and... and not having any sense of perspective that these are created things that God, you know, then these are not your God, lowercase g. These works of the flesh, you know, that lead, I think, lead us back to, you know, the moral code, lead us back to the law. But what's one of the first things we hear in the law of Moses? You know, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So we start with love. And the very first commandment, have no other gods before me. And I think that's the danger mm-hmm. when we get to verse 19 and after, is those things can go when people look to those things to fill the empty places in their life.
Yeah, and that's so good what you're saying there, that the whole Ten Commandments are prefaced by grace. I am the God who brought you out of Egypt, therefore, and he goes on, doesn't he? Hey, let's take a break and welcome in a fine listener and supporter of KFUO in a great place in the world, Atlanta, Georgia. Jan, welcome to the Bible study. Do you have a comment or a question for Pastor Jago today?
Well, yes, I do. I think, and help me with this, I'm looking at 1 John 3, verses 19 through 22, and I'm thinking about the dichotomy between saint and sinner.
Yeah.
Like we don't just eat once, and that meal carries us through our life. I'm talking about temporal life. You constantly eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's true on the spiritual side where when we are in Christ, we are contrite about our sin. We don't make a habit of sin. We recognize that we sin, whereas before we are saved and the Holy Spirit enlivens us, we think we're pretty good.
Well, 1 John is John, I think, has as much paradox and contrast as what Paul does. Because there's a verse there where it says, okay, if you have hatred in your heart against your brother, you're not of God. But then on the other hand, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So are you sinning? Yes. I mean, maybe even with hatred in your heart. But it's a both and. You know, both of those are true. We can't be gratifying the sinful desires that are there, like anger and so forth. But we're also free from the condemnation of that in Jesus Christ and freed to be a new person.
Jan, as a good friend of and mentored by a great theologian, Martin Luther, let me commend you because, you know, he liked to talk about the entire life of a Christian from baptism to the grave as being one of contrition, one of repentance.
Yeah.
And he it wasn't all about feeling sad about your sin all the time. It was, as we were talking, knowing what to do when you sin, when you turn to those fleshly desires, you turn to the cross. And the Spirit wants to do that, as Pastor Jagow keeps reminding us. And 1 John does that too. Thank you so much for that. And it's not going to work out too good for a human being that says, I have no need of eating once I'm born, you know?
Yeah.
So the same with repentance, contrition, and absolution, having your sins forgiven by that risen Christ. Pastor Jay Gow, would you agree with all that, I hope?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Jan, thanks for calling.
Yeah, that was a great comment and question. And Jan, thanks for listening there in Atlanta.
He accords with what Jesus said. He started his ministry with repent.
Yes. That was his first sermon, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
so, repent and believe. Law and gospel. I think that Jesus was a Missouri Synod Lutheran. I really did. Or the other way around.
Yeah.
Jan, thanks for being such a great friend. Thanks for being such a great friend and Christian sister there in Atlanta, Georgia.
Indeed.
Well, pastors, as you can tell, we have some great listeners out there who listen and they know this stuff. When I think we kind of put that verse 16 thing to rest. Being led by the Spirit, we want to go on and talk about that. We're going to have to break here shortly for a little bit of time from our sponsors and underwriters. But we want to talk about that, being led by the Spirit, and then the resultant of that, not being under the law. You want to give us a little bit of that, and then we'll go on a break?
Sure. Do you want me to read the text?
No, just, we've got about 30 seconds, and then we'll go away and come back to it.
Well, think about this then, that, you know, God is giving us a hard list of things, but he's going to give us the power to do that. When we pray, thy will be done in the Lord's Prayer, we're asking God's help, where his will be in our lives.
I like that. So being led by the Spirit, his will is going to be there for us, even in contrition and absolution, forgiveness. So stick with us. We're talking with Pastor Andy J. Gow from Alexandria, Virginia. We'll be right back to talk more about Galatians 5.
Author Tim Gagline, who served as the special assistant to President George W. Bush, talks about the importance of KFUO.
KFUO is in the middle of the culture. And if you want to impact culture, you have to be in it. I think that we owe the best that is within us to our country, culture, and civilization. And now with the advent of the internet to the world. How do we find new ways to the rising generation of young Americans to share the good news of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection? How do we use our moral imagination? How do we use creativity to get the word out? That's what it's all about. That's what KFUO is doing. It is making it new. It's saying, here is our great legacy and our great heritage as Lutherans who are privileged and honored to live in this country. I love KFUO for that reason.
On the radio, online, and on demand, worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Winter in cold climates can feel long and dark. Hope, music, and light all help. A radio program can't do much about the light, except spiritual light, but you will find plenty of music and hope on the next Sing for Joy.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Thanks for staying with us today on the Bible study, because there's such great, important stuff we're talking about today. And we're doing that with Pastor Andy J. Gow from Bethany Lutheran Church, Alexandria, Virginia. You can join us, though, as some already have, 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis listening area, or if you have long distance freedom to do so, please join in the conversation with your question or comment for Pastor J. Gow. And toll-free in North America, 800-730-2727, or people even email us questions and comments, kfuo@kfuo.org. Andy, we were talking about this important thing. If we are led by the Spirit, we are not under the law. And we just started to have you unload that. That's really important, I think, for all of us to know if we are led by the Spirit. How could somebody know if they are being led by the Holy Spirit?
Oh, boy. Well, there's a lot of... I think because, first and foremost, most important thing is that Jesus is front and center. He's at the center of everything that is there in your life and in the center of your decisions. That's where we're going to get some of the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to unpack in a little bit. Is that there's going to be that alignment with God's will for your life and so forth if Jesus is there at the center. Under the law means that you're aware of sinfulness. The law is there as a useful thing when you have the Holy Spirit, especially. But it's going to terrify you. It's going to crush you. It's going to make you, I'm miserable. Even if you weren't a Christian reading this and thinking about those things, you could just see, even if you're talking with a friend who's completely secular, you say, well, there's going to be times where you're frustrated with yourself. There's things I want to improve in my life. And you're never going to be at a point where you're completely satisfied with yourself, because that's under the law. It's only, I think, when you have the Spirit that you have that sense of peace, wholeness, and you just have that sense of you're connected to something that's beyond you. That something is the love of God, which transcends everything else.
Well said. Andy, let me ask you this, and we might, hopefully we're not starting up a debate here.
Ooh, boy.
Which seminary are you a graduate of?
St. Louis.
All right. My alma mater, too. And one of the best classes in absolutely in my entire life, I just loved it. And men just dreaded ever having to take a class from him. But I did it in an elective. Dr. Horace Hummel. One of the best Old Testament minds we've ever had. And we did, I did wisdom literature with him, and I'm so glad I did, because he really would value, and we started and spent a lot of time on it, Psalm 1, as this, and I was thinking it matches up with what we're talking about here, walking by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, because, you know, we know for Paul, being a Jew, he knew his Hebrew. And so we know what that walk means. Derek is the Hebrew word. And Psalm 1 starts out, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, in the revealed word of the Lord. And on his revealed word he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water and yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers." Now, you know, Dr. Hummel, he led us to see where if our root system, our spiritual root system, via the Holy Spirit, is taking in so many of God's word, that allows God to do his will in our life, doesn't he? And to bring the word of God that's in us to bear on our life and on our world and on our friends and on our neighbors.
Well, that's the power of God's word, to bring you to life, and without it, we're dead. So I'm thinking of Dr. Hummel. I'm looking over at my bookshelf, and we'll give a plug to our good friends at CPH, Concordia Publishing House. And if you want a really meaty commentary on the book of Ezekiel, you go to Dr. Hummel's two-volume commentary there.
That thing would really keep a massive door open with that two volumes.
Yes,
and it is so good, isn't it?
So to make a connection here to the, you know, it's in Ezekiel, the prophets led out to the Valley of Dry Bones. They're dead without the Word of God coming to Ezekiel and the Spirit of God working through that Word.
And
that's the illustration in my head about, you know, this is why, you know, it's not just an esoteric exercise here, you know, that we're going to talk about the Bible and that sort of thing, but it's something that this is why I build my, you know, this is my profession. One of the beautiful things about it is the word, it's centered on the Word of God, and that's what brings people life.
I love that, and I thank you very much, too, for pointing out that great example of Ezekiel, because, you know, Ezekiel is the stark contrast. You know, the amazing one for me was when there's these false teachers like that were at Galatia that were inside the temple. They thought they were hidden, and they were just, you know, bad-mouthing God to the high heavens and worshiping false gods. And corrupting the people, and God allowed Ezekiel to hear all that, and then he tells him, watch this, and he sees the Holy Spirit leaving the temple. Mm-hmm. And so Paul, in essence, is he saying that too, that if you're not led by this Holy Spirit and his word, which centers on your sins being forgiven by the crucified Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, you're not, it's not going to turn out well for you, just like he showed the prophet Ezekiel?
Well, absolutely. Paul was trained by Gamaliel in Jerusalem to be a Pharisee, strict observance of the law. So he knows firsthand knowledge that just doing the right thing and being upright and fulfilling all your obligations, that does not bring you life. It wasn't until he was knocked off his horse that he and he had a come to Jesus meeting, literally.
Yeah, very well said.
That he understood and things really clicked together. But God used his knowledge of, I mean, he was not only a Roman citizen, but he was steeped in the traditions of God's people of Israel all the way up to that point. So he understood, and it's even there all throughout the Old Testament. That's why if you look at you know, I have a friend in the congregation that does Jewish evangelism. One of the things they do is hand out a New Testament with the words of, not just the words of Jesus in red print like we're used to, but the words of the Old Testament in bold text.
Oh, that's a neat thing.
It's amazing to me when you read Paul's letters, especially how much of that is in bold text.
That's such a good point. I wish more of our Bibles would do that, Andy.
I know.
Because we would find, as you're saying there, that Jesus and the apostles, they quote like crazy from the Bible of their day, which was the Older Testament.
Which makes sense. There was no New Testament.
No.
When we talk about the scriptures, they mean, Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.
And earlier here in Galatians, we hear that God saves Paul. He turns him around by revealing the gospel to him personally, one-on-one. And then Paul goes away for Arabia for quite a bit of time. And I'm wondering, I have this sneaky suspicion that what Paul was doing there is the Holy Spirit was showing him passage by passage from his Bible, the Older Testament, where this Jesus crucified, resurrected for sins was there. Oh. And that's what Paul and Peter are quoting like crazy from, aren't they?
I have made that same point in Bible class. I like you, my friend.
and isn't this true?
That same point about him being in Arabia, which is talked about here earlier in Galatians, that he's doing that. He's processing his whole life up to that point.
Isn't it true also that, Jesus told the apostles, even before they didn't get the theology of the cross and all that stuff, that, look, when I'm ascended back into heaven, the Holy Spirit will come to you, and he will remind you and show you where the crucifixion, resurrection is in all the Old Testament.
Oh,
wow. That's Luke 24,
In Luke 24, when he said, when he breathes the Holy Spirit, and okay, now you will know. This is all this was said about me. In Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, all this was said about me.
Yeah. But Andy, I have problems. I'm just going to play the part and ask you this. Verse 19.
Oh, we were getting along so well.
I know. Now it's going to change. Verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident. And boy, this list, I have to say, this is my list of offenses that I've did in my life. Mm-hmm. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Wow. For easily, we have that in our gospel reading, those of us in the three-year series where Jesus says, murder is not just physical murder, it's spiritual too. So Jesus always seems to kick it up to a spiritual notch. And if we only took one, idolatry, all of us have committed idolatry, haven't we?
Right.
And so—
actually, backing up a little bit, verse 19, these things are evident. He
said, "Oh, very good. Evident,
like Geico commercial.
They're not hid.
Somebody sees the bulletin board for the first time. Oh, 50 minutes could save you 50% or more. And then someone says, well, everybody knows that. There's Paul saying, well, everybody knows that. These things are evident.
Yeah.
Even if you have the natural knowledge of God, the blueprint on your heart, there's something inside you that says these things are wrong.
So how can a Christian like me say these things have been done by me, but God, does that mean then I'm not led by the Spirit?
Well, it could. I'm not going to lie. Because there's definitely the pot, if you're not there in the life of the Spirit and you're moving away from God, that's actually the sin where you say, well, that's okay, God, I could do it better my own way. Thank you. I don't need you in my life.
Yeah.
Very few of us probably do that consciously, or we're aware of that. It could be staying away from church, not cracking your Bible for a while, doing things like that. But I think that there's, there definitely needs to be a sense of intentionality about, giving the Spirit every window, opening every window in our house, so to speak, to have them come in. Does it mean that you are not saved? No, absolutely. We go back to what Paul wrote earlier. We don't contribute a single thing to our salvation, and that's the tension to hold in our mind. We are free to do these things and to go away from the things that. This list of fleshly sins, those are things that people fill their lives with.
Yeah.
Looking for what? Looking to feel fulfilled. So if there's an empty space in your life, what do you fill it with? Food, alcohol, the sexual sins that are there, anger, just blowing up at people. Eris is one of the Greek words that's used there, and that's the Greek goddess of discord. Paul uses the same kinds of words in 1 Corinthians when he's talking about all the fighting that's tearing apart that congregation.
Sure.
So just giving over to your anger, even. You know, those kinds of things. You know, some people, you know, they do that because it fills an empty space inside them, and it makes them feel something. But if that's all our life is, that's eventually going to lead to such self-destruction in our lives.
Yeah, and then that
trying to kill our fun here.
That severe warning in what is it, verse 21? I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's pretty severe.
It is, and I think there again, it's when you give over. Eventually, you know what happens is if you live as if you're saved by grace. You don't contribute to your salvation at all. So we go back to that. But does that mean you just do whatever you want in your life and live as if Jesus doesn't matter? Well, no. Faith without works, James writes, is dead. It's DOA. It's not going to lead to the to that kind of connection with the Holy Spirit and ultimately with. You could probably just actually, I got an excellent illustration. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite writers, in The Great Divorce, the main character there goes to heaven, and there's this this limbo between heaven and hell. Meets all these different characters. So he meets one of his former C.S. Lewis meets one of his former men. You know, is a person that's influenced him in his writing, George MacDonald, and that person is revealing that. You know, these individuals that you see up here, there are some that will say to God, thy will be done. And then there's those that God says to them, thy will be done. In other words, you know, people that say, oh, that's okay, God. I could do it. I could do it on my own. I don't need you.
Right. You know, it's my personal will that's going to prevail, you know. I'm going to do what pleases me and what I like, and the heck with you or anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's well said. I like that example. So, you know, let me lay on something that you said at the beginning and see if this fits here for inheriting the kingdom of God. You talked about the Spirit working in us from our baptism till the grave. Do we not believe, Andy, that when God baptizes us, he does an amazing thing. We call it an exorcism. He casts the devil out as being the ruler over our heart and our soul, and he comes in and instantly transfers us from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, some of us say that. You know, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Yes. All right.
Yeah, and in Luther's time, he would do it more dramatically in public.
Yeah.
Then it goes on right in 22, and I want to have you talk about this. But there's that big word, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Unload that for us, if you would.
Well, there's kind of a unity in all of them. So I think there's different things that you can do with your kids, you know, making fruit salad, for instance. You know, if we were to do, maybe this would be KFUO's cooking show that we call into.
I'd love to host that one. I'm a real cook. I love to cook.
Hey, I can write that down. It's more. There's more unity here. That like the works of the flesh are all kind of there, leading you in one direction. I read one commentator say this is like a cluster of grapes. There's unity here.
They hang together. Then you're saying.
Yeah. They're all related to one another. They're very interwoven. The love is where you start. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very biblical place to start. You have Deuteronomy 6, what's the summary of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God and the one who brought you out of the house of slavery. So that we start with love. We start with Christ's sacrifice, agape love.
Yeah, what is, when you say agape love,
Right.
I'm not going to let you get away with that big Greek word. What is agape
forever.
Love?
I would rather suffer and die than see you suffer and die for all eternity. So we start with love.
Okay.
Go to joy. I just have a quick thing on joy to remind Christians that even in this veil of tears, God gives us things to be joyful about and to take joy in God and our salvation, if nothing else. So there was this movie that was out a while ago, Armistad, that was about the slave ship that they washed up, and there was a rebellion on the slave ship. The West African slaves that were on the ship were in prison, and that to see if there would be going on to slavery and so forth. And so there's a group of Christians that are trying to bring them comfort by coming out of the outside of their jail cell and singing to these West Africans. Now they don't speak English. They just have to go by the appearance of the Christians and what they're doing. They're all dressed in black. They have dour expressions on their face. They're singing these, sounds like a funeral dirge. And so the West Africans are trying to figure out what this means. And one of them says to the other, "I think we're going to die."
Wow.
You know, there's a Christian demeanor. There was no happiness or joy that was there.
Wow.
You know, they were trying to share Jesus is what they were trying to do, but failing miserably. So it's kind of a reminder to me that, you know, that when Christ frees your heart, that brings joy in your life, no matter what circumstances you're facing. Even when you're in prison, Paul was singing hymns of praise while
and sharing the gospel with the guards.
Yeah,
Andy, let me share this with you because you so wonderfully suggested our great friends at Concordia Publishing House. Uh-huh. Let me throw another one out. A classmate of mine from the seminary, they own a wine vineyard in California, uh-huh. and his sister is now running that, and she wrote a great book that CPH published. I cannot remember the name of it. I think it might be The Vine, but just go on CPH's website or Amazon, one of those, and type in Steinbeck, Steinbeck, and she talks about how she has pictures of that great John 15. Jesus says, "I am the vine; you are the branches." To uh-huh. where the vine is pouring so much food out to the branches that you start to see this ooze of liquid coming out, and that forms the fruit. And so I'm back to, Psalm 1 and John 15, where God pours so much of Jesus Christ crucified, the love, all of that through us, that we bring out he brings out these fruits. We have a caller who wants to talk about this, regular as well as Jan, listening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Cheryl, welcome to the Bible study this day, and you want to have a question or comment about fruits of the Spirit?
Yes, I just wanted to comment. Thanks for taking my call. I was thinking that Galatians 4, verse 9, until Christ is formed in you, it's talking about the result of baptism and the fruit of the Spirit. Those two concepts were related because all of these, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, those are all attributes of God that, like in 1 John 4:16, God is love. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isaiah 9:6, Christ is called the Prince of Peace. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul saying, "But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." And I was thinking those were all related to our baptism, the harvest. It's a harvest that the Holy Spirit is doing, is working in us, is forming us to forming Christ in us.
Wow, well said, Cheryl. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the comment, Pastor. Cheryl was sharing with us, these fruits of the Spirit, who are they for? What's the purpose of all this wonderful list, of love, joy, peace, patience, etc.?
Well, those of us who are certainly baptized, connected to God's Holy Spirit, and going back to what she said about baptism, which I, by the way, excellent insight. Thank you so much for also bringing up about the characteristics of God, who is also faithful, gentle as our good shepherd, and fulfilled the law perfectly for us, self-control. There's all those characteristics that are there that are being perfected in us. You know, as we get changed from one glory to the to glory, you know, until we are perfected in heaven. The other that starts in baptism. It's completed in our heavenly baptism when we're taken up to be with the Lord. And you know, I was having a discussion with someone the other day about, you know, children's baptism, why we baptize babies and so forth. I said, well, it's because, you know, we don't have the power to believe. We don't have the power to do these things. That's Holy Spirit power. And that's, you know, it just as Paul said, you will not inherit the kingdom of God if you do these works of the flesh. Well, you know, also, unless you have faith like a child,
mm-hmm.
you will not enter it. Faith like a child latches on to these things. These are the things we look to God for and that we believe come to us by the power of His Holy Spirit. It's faith that does that.
Mm-hmm. That brings all these fruits, doesn't it? And the Spirit, would you say, does all those great fruits through the gospel. That's the thing that it just uses more and more to bring forth these fruits and allow us to walk by the Spirit.
Well, yeah. What Paul wrote in chapter 3, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law? No. You received it by having faith.
Faith in the words. There you go.
Through the word, right, exactly. That's where these things come from.
So how about 24, verse 24? And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Where is he taking us on that verse?
Well, I'm going to go back real quick to patience. Another word for patience that I love because it's endurance, it's steadfastness, long-suffering. So when I hear long-suffering, I not only think of, you know, being a parent and, you know, having to repeat things over and over again and having to endure, you know, different kinds of behavior there, but I think of our heavenly parent, our God, our Father, who endures so much from us, His children. I think of Jesus with His disciples having to, you know, endure all the things that were there, but the suffering, you know, mm-hmm. the Christ with His arms extended, being nailed to the cross and heaving in short breaths until finally saying it is finished, enduring till the end. He did not shrink back from the road that led Him to the cross. And then you go back in your contemplations, He did that for me. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, we belong because He's done all that for us. He's claimed us as His children.
Mm-hmm.
We belong to Christ Jesus. He's been crucified. All of it, when we struggle with sin in our lives, I have the image in my mind of just literally putting it at the foot of Christ's cross. There's no sin where the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cover and cleanse me from it and free me from whatever it is that I'm struggling with.
Pastor, we're running out of time, but we got a couple of verses here. Maybe you can use these to summarize our whole time together in the Word. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
So Christians early on in the book of Acts are not called Christians. They're not called Christians until the Antioch and that name comes about. It's called the Way. And so if you have that image in your head, you have the image of Jesus walking with His disciples. Faith is walking on the road, hearing the words of Jesus, acting on your faith, sharing the word, you're walking the path. And when you start to get downhearted and downtrodden, think of the disciples walking to Emmaus and suddenly Christ revealing Himself, the Spirit through the power of the word, and then in the breaking of the bread, and freeing their hearts. We live by the Spirit. We walk by that Spirit. Means that we also, the Spirit connects us with Jesus, is showing us, revealing to us that Christ is walking there beside us.
Well said. And just toss in, you know, to means a Christian means to be a follower. Followed the way. So that's so well said. Pastor Andy Jagow of Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. We had such a great time together on the show, and I think our guests did too, our listeners, they called in. Thank you so much, and God's richest blessings on the cherry blossom up there this year for you and your daughters. And join us again, will you please?
Oh, I would love to.
We'll have you on.
This is great fun. Thank you.
It is. And that book was The Vine Speaks by Cindy Steinbeck.
Oh, hey, see, you got
people working there. The Vine Speaks, Cindy Steinbeck. So join us again on Monday for the Bible study where we continue on in Galatians 6. Great programming the rest of the day coming up. Faith and Family with Andy Bates. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.